Welcome to the Starzology Astrology Podcast. I'm your host, Arwen O'Neill, and today I'm here with my friend Katya.
Hello, Arwen. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. So today we're going to be talking about a transit that is coming up. It's going to be exact on April 10th, 2024, in case you're listening in the future. And if you are, thank you. We are talking about Mars conjunct Saturn, which actually does happen pretty much exactly every 2 years.
Oh.
But this time it's happening in Pisces. Mm-hmm. And okay, so Mars and Saturn are definitely, they're both kind of considered malefics, like in the old school terminology, which means they are, you know, like not forces for good, right?
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like in the old school astrology, it was like, okay, so Mars is like the, like it's aggression, it's martial energy and warlike and about violence and all that stuff. And Saturn is like the planet of restriction and government and your strict dad and, kind of restriction and oppression and limitations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you put those together, they're very opposite types of energy, right?
Mm.
So when you have them conjunct, it's a really weird kind of force. Like it's almost like a square because the energies are so frictionous. Like even though it's a conjunction and they should be operating together, it's very hard for those two planets to operate together. So
They like harsh on them, on each other or themselves or both?
I mean, kind of both, right?
Oh, okay.
Like,
I guess we're setting really high standards and trying to be like follow everything to the T type of thing.
Totally. Yeah. Because I mean, you've got like it's like a push and pull that's happening at the same time. It's almost like a built in, and I said it was just like almost like a square, but it's almost like an opposition as well, because you've got this Mars that wants to go forward and Saturn that wants to hold back and restrict and have control, right? And you've got both of these forces happening at the same time in the same exact spot in the sky, right?
It almost feels like discipline, but from two angles.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like, I think I read somewhere that it was like driving with the parking brake on with your foot all the way to like on the gas, like all the way down.
Yeah.
Like it's, you're just going, trying to, you know, accomplish something and trying to like go full speed ahead, but at the same time, you're like, you know, kind of being restricted.
I don't know why, to me, it seems like there's a lot of pros and cons to this style, where you can use it for good in that it's, you know, you can be disciplined and ambitious. This is where you would achieve the goals, but maybe one of them is setting the goals more, and then the other one's working more on like completing them or achieving them.
Totally.
It does seem like it's an intense energy, though.
Absolutely. And it's interesting. One of the first words that came up when I was doing this, my little research was endurance.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it takes a lot of patience and stamina and initiative to actually get anything done under this kind of transit. But once you do, it's like the momentum then, you know, carries forward. It's like you eventually engage into that weird, difficult sort of momentum. And then it's actually going to kind of go farther and longer and actually have more endurance than it would, more stamina.
Interesting. Yeah. And how about, is it competitive?
Oh, I would definitely think so.
Yeah.
You might go into this transit feeling as though you've been held back and you're just waiting to unleash the full force of your powers or your creativity or your ambition.
Mm-hmm.
And this could feel like very frustrating. Like it could feel like everything is kind of coming to a head and then it's like, oh wait, well, no, there's delay. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong. There's something that you can't get to work, or the people who need to be involved are suddenly unavailable. And you're like, I'm ready, you know?
Yeah.
And so your engine is revving, but you're being held back and you're unable to complete the tasks you want to accomplish. So I think obstacles could get in your way that require more patience, more perseverance, and more hard work and planning than you normally would. But at the same time, if you do that, if you do it right, you should be able to persevere and achieve more than you normally would at this time, because there is that built-in fortitude that has to come
with. Yeah, and that's the Mars energy, I guess, more so. But and what are some key words for Mars and Pisces? Or Saturn in Pisces, versus.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously this aspect is really going to feel different in depending on what sign it's in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Pisces is a really weird. It's a weird. We've talked a lot about Pisces this year, and you know, and we're just coming out of Pisces season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is like March, you know, February, March, but we still have a lot of energy going on in Pisces right now. Mm-hmm. Clearly, like Mars and Saturn are huge planets. Mm-hmm. Saturn's, you know, extra huge, and Mars is just like extra important. But so if this aspect was happening in like Aries or Sagittarius, it would be very clear like what the deal is. It would be like, okay, it's very fiery, it's very energized, it's very ambitious, it's competitive. But in Pisces, like what is that? So yeah, let's talk about Mars in Pisces and then Saturn in Pisces keywords.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So Mars in Pisces, mm-hmm. passive, charming. And this is mostly if it's in your chart, like mm-hmm. it's not like everyone's going to suddenly feel this way because it's transiting.
Yeah.
But these are the keywords that come with it.
Is that like a tendency in a person?
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like if you have a friend who has Mars in Pisces, you'll notice these things about their personality for sure.
Okay.
So they tend to be more passive than aggressive, or maybe passive aggressive, because there's a dark side to mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. Passive, charming, creative, go with the flow. They can be calculating, because that's kind of like, you know, operating behind the scenes.
Okay.
So they can be the kind of person who maybe, you know, is always dropping kind of suggestions. So you don't really feel like there's a leader in the group, but suddenly, okay. like if you look back, you're like, that was Rick's suggestion, or
yeah.
And like you realize that they've kind of been this subtle puppet master, you know, all along, and you know, they don't seem mm-hmm. like they're ever going to be the one who speaks up and says, oh, let's do this, let's do that, or like argues if the type A in the room wants to do something,
mm-hmm.
but yet somehow they're kind of a little bit masterminding it.
I have to say, I kind of like working with someone like that, because it just seems like they're this sage that's quietly pointing you in the right direction.
Right?
And it's like they knew all along, but they, you know, they take almost like pleasure in trying to get you to arrive at that too,
yeah.
because that gives you so much pleasure.
Totally.
You know?
It's actually, it's like soft power.
Yeah.
Soft power is
like
probably
that,
a good
yeah.
way of describing Mars in Pisces.
Yeah.
So they might have like really fluctuating energy levels. That's kind of an issue with Pisces in general. Mm-hmm. You might remember from the episode that I did with Bo, when we talked about like kind of the dark side of Pisces, or the complicated side of Pisces, and there's no side of Pisces that's not complicated.
Mm.
But he had discussed, you know, the different levels of energy that are really difficult to manage when you have a lot of Pisces in your chart, and that can be accomplished, dealt with in a bad or a good way through your diet or your exercise, and just really having to be very careful about your energy levels, because they are not consistent. They can just kind of fluctuate like a lava lamp,
yeah,
you know, or
yeah.
like throughout the day.
It's still a really nice description of it, because
yeah.
you're kind of imagining it to be a little bit more, like a bit slower to act maybe.
I mean, it might, I don't know. I've got a lot of stuff in Virgo, which is the opposite of Pisces. So for me, it seems very foreign. Like it's hard for me to kind of imagine what that would be like.
Yeah.
And it feels like I know a lot of people who probably have that.
Yeah.
And maybe that explains like why they're so kind of fickle, or like they make plans and then they ghost, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like the kind of person who will like, you know, make plans like weeks ahead. And then I'm in my little calendar and I'm like, hey, are we still doing this?
Yeah.
But it's funny. I never expect, I've just gotten, maybe this is also living on the West Coast. Like I've gotten so used to people just not at all following through with plans that it's like, I've gotten to the point where I just kind of don't even, until like it's a half an hour before the thing.
Like,
I've completely adapted. Yeah. Adapted to the Pisces energy around me. Or whatever.
And is this something that they just can't help?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, when you get older, probably it, you know, you can find ways around it. Like as Bo was saying, like there's, you know, there's always like granola bars, or there's always like some kind of fast food, or there's, you know, candy bars frequently.
Okay.
Like, you know, you'll just kind of like, oh, my energy is just kind of like dropped to the floor, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I better have a Snickers bar or something.
And they're more likely to be hangry.
Maybe.
Hungry and angry.
Right.
Or get angry when they're hungry.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's a really funny one. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
now
not funny,
I'm
but
ask everyone that says that they get hangry, like where's Mars in in the Pisces? I don't know. How would you ask
Where's Mars in your chart?
Yeah,
although, I mean, it's the rare person who will actually be like, oh, mine's in.
Yeah.
Most people don't know.
Hey, I know. Ask Megan Fox. I bet she will know.
That's an amazing idea, because as we will discuss in a few minutes, Megan Fox, we were talking about her like right before this episode we started recording, and I had to like look up her chart, which I don't always do, but I did this time. And it turns out that she actually has both Mars and Saturn in Pisces, which It's crazy.
Yeah, it was meant to be. It's totally like, meant to be. You totally didn't have to look this up, but something was...
Right, and who, like, yeah, who would have thought? Megan mm-hmm. Fox. But they're not conjunct, but they're, like, very close. They're 11 degrees apart, and mm-hmm. they're in, yeah, Pisces. It's
and where amazing. Are you looking this up? Like, how can somebody find what they're...
I mean, I just looked up Megan Fox astrology, and then just clicked the first link that came up. Like, yeah. I could go to, you know, my software or whatever, but yeah it's just easier to
and so for
way. And so it's on an astro theme.
Which astro is, theme, okay.
Yeah, you could probably find it on astro-charts or any number of other sites, which... Yeah. Have a maybe better design. Astro theme is a little chaotic. Mm-hmm. I like it because you can search by aspect. Oh. So if you actually want to just go, okay, what famous people have Mars in Pisces? You can get, and you can actually like search by degree or by whether their time of birth is known. Wow. I've heard some criticism about their, like they might use charts that are not necessarily A-rated all the time. But I mean, if you're just basically looking for Mars and like Mars and Saturn are very slow moving compared to like, you know, your ascendant or your moon. So if you don't know the exact time, it's fine.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
Like
okay.
Those are always going to be in the same place regardless of like what time of day they were born. If they don't know the time, then it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for some things you want it to be like exact and A-rated and all that. But for this, it's fine.
Yeah. But it's nice to learn, just be informed. And that just gives you more information about yourself and your tendencies. And I love the way you describe it, that this is just another language to learn about yourself and the world around you and how to interact with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny, we talk about archetypes and stuff, and you know, you may have friends who feel hangry or whatever, and they may or may not have Mars in Pisces, but it's a way of like understanding that aspect of someone's personality, whether or not that actual, you know, placement matches up with the people who feel that way. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. So that was Mars and
Pisces. So Mars and Pisces. A couple more words with that would be, you know, along with the fluctuating energy levels, are moody, changeable, indirect, and compassionate. So there are, like, indirect is a really interesting way of kind of saying passive aggressive in a nicer way. It's almost like, and also that indirect power thing, that soft power thing is, they don't go about things like necessarily as aggressively as someone who has like Mars in Aries or Mars in Leo or something, but they'll get their way, you know? And it's almost like too, since Pisces is at the end of the zodiac, it kind of encompasses all the signs a little bit. It's almost like it's kind of the hero's journey, and that's the final state because it kind of
a final boss.
The final boss, exactly. And it's kind of like they're wrapping all the traits into one. Mm-hmm. And so Mars in Pisces is almost, I mean, anything in Pisces is almost like the final level of it, which isn't to say that people who have, you know, placements in Pisces are more evolved than the rest of us.
Yeah.
But there is a level of all the other stuff has kind of been tried. And now this is like, So it's a different way of sort of looking at.
It does seem a little more all-encompassing than the rest.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it. And it might not always feel that way. Yeah. Like when you're a Pisces or have placements in Pisces, it may feel chaotic or like you have too much compassion or you have too many things going on or there's too many different ways of looking at things and it's hard to choose or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I
empathize. Yeah. Empathize, that's the word. with this kind of person a little bit more, because why wouldn't you be a little bit less direct when you're so multifaceted?
Right.
Right? To show up in a very specific way that's very appropriate to every single situation when you have so much, I don't know, not experience, but like so
just
many
tools
layers.
In the toolkit kind of thing. And
I understand why they're like that.
Totally. Yeah. And I appreciate it. Yeah, for sure. So Saturn and Pisces, keywords. And this is an interesting one because Saturn, I think it's a little bit more compatible with Pisces than Mars. Mars is very fiery, and to put it in Pisces, which is this emotional, watery, spiritual,
too
compassionate
far
sign. It's not considered a great placement for Mars, but in for Saturn, it might be a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are some really interesting sort of light side, dark side sort of things. So inhibited emotions would be one, fear of vulnerability, a lack of faith in your own intuition.
Oh,
I know. Feeling restricted by or an inability to express your true feelings, or feeling resentment of other people's neediness and vulnerability. And that one we can come back to because that's a deep one. A desire to express one's creativity, but an inability to do so for internal reasons or due to external factors that may just prevent you from being able to express your creativity.
Oh, I know. This person that sounds so suppressed, or this quality seems so suppressive.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, and that's the nature of Saturn, right, is that restriction. But it's the restriction that forces you to work within constraints, which will eventually create a better product. You know, and as a Virgo, I really do kind of appreciate that because if you have, like, there's nothing worse than a blank slate, right?
Yeah, like, it depends who you ask.
Exactly, right? Yeah. I mean, some people like blank slate, cool. Like, you know, I can forge ahead and do it my own way. And that's a very Aries way. You know, we keep using the Aries as a comparison, but that's because it's so opposite from Pisces.
Yes.
It's such a good contrast because that Aries energy is just like, oh, just, you know, trailblazing, you know, like jump forward. And, you know, like the Fool in the Tarot deck, just like jumping off the edge of the thing and just going for it. And a lot of people don't have that, you know, in their personality.
Yeah,
and so the feeling of being inhibited or wanting to do something, but feeling like you're restricted or you can't, or you never have the time, or you, you know, you want to create something, but then you're like, you get bogged down in the so many options or so many different ways you could do something that you just then don't do it.
I'm imagining like a seed that has the potential to be something to blossom into something marvelous, but not having the right environment, not having the light or the water or the soil or something like that. Like there's so much potential, but it's not being realized. Perhaps.
Totally. And that, I mean, that's an interesting thing too with Mars and Saturn in conjunction. It's like, maybe it's like always feeling like you have all that potential, but there's just something that's preventing it. There's one thing missing, or it never is the right time, you know? So if you have this aspect in your chart, it may feel like you are just in a constant state of trying to accomplish something and then there's always this resistance.
Is this the kind of person who would be busy all the time, but you just ask them, like, what's keeping you busy? And they're like, I'm not actually sure what I accomplished, what I did, but I was just really busy the whole time.
That's a great...
Are they procrastinators?
Probably, but it might even... I mean, it could be that word. It could be procrastination, but it could also be that they are just constantly, diligently working somehow, and they just have a hard time actually accomplishing anything. It could be just a matter of revving that engine and struggling and harnessing powers of discipline, and it's just not enough, you know?
Okay.
Which is, I mean, you'd almost wish it were procrastination because that's really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But since it's Mars conjunct Saturn and it's not a square, I would think it's something that you can overcome. Like you can learn how to use this for good, you know, you can actually harness it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with every aspect, there are positive and negative expressions.
Yes.
And this is one of the most difficult conjunctions because the energies of Mars and Saturn are so opposite to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But people who have it need to know how to make a concerted effort to use it constructively, or it can become kind of a destructive and bitter and abusive influence. It's kind of like the stereotypical dad who's always telling his kids, like, they don't have the right to expect an easy life because his life was so hard.
Oh, okay.
You know, that whole, like, I walked like 10 miles in my snow, like
grandfather's pajamas.
Yeah. Like
uphill
both ways. Exactly. And so that bitterness can become a kind of a cycle of violence if you're not careful, or if you just kind of lean into it or you know, don't lean into constructively using it. People with this aspect tend to have great powers of endurance and mental fortitude.
Mm.
And Pisces would help with this, being charitable and compassionate about other people. Like maybe other people haven't had to work as hard as you, but that's okay because we all have a different path, you know?
Yeah, you don't actually want everyone else to suffer as much as you, but...
Or do you?
It's hard.
I mean, maybe. Right? Because it could go that way. Like it could easily go that way.
It's easy to be resentful, you know, with all of that internal fighting and, you know, I guess not feeling good enough or, you know, just constantly feeling like you're failing.
Yeah. That's really putting so much effort into working, and maybe that you feel like you have to work harder than everyone else just to get, just to stay with your head above water, you know, which.
And so what can we learn about this? What's something that.
Have just perseverance and discipline and patience.
Mm.
Meditate on your own power, your own initiative, your discipline, and harnessing that and understanding that everyone is different.
Yeah.
And don't compare yourself and just focus on what you can do better, like you personally.
Okay.
And I mean, that would
like
be my
advice.
Like
how to channel it for something more productive.
Exactly.
Like
yeah.
we're not saying
don't try to do everything.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that is another temptation with Pisces is because, well, you have all these different avenues that you could kind of do. And mm-hmm. maybe people with this aspect really need to focus mm-hmm. and not try to disperse their energies too widely mm-hmm. because it's not an inexhaustible power yeah. source, you know?
So this person would benefit from monotasking as yeah. opposed to multitasking.
Probably so.
Because yeah. I imagine that they would start a bunch of things yeah. and not finish them.
Right. And then wonder where the day went. And they yeah. felt like they've worked so hard all day, yeah. but it's like, well, wait, God, did I finish yeah. anything? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And how about, you know, like, because this seems kind of stressful. Mm. And yeah. I can't actually differentiate between if this applies great for both Mars in Pisces and Saturn in Pisces, but like, where does exercise fit in? Mm. Is this like a good activity to let your mind wander or to expend energy to like, cause it just seems yeah. like in both cases, there is a lot of energy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would say definitely these people could absolutely benefit from doing endurance related tasks.
Yeah.
Like endurance type exercise, treadmill, long hikes, what I do, which is going up the stairs in my building. And the great thing about that is that you're not focusing on the exercise of it.
Yeah.
Your body is in motion and you're doing something, but you can kind of then let your mind wander.
Yeah.
And that's the multitasking part of it then.
Yeah.
Is that you can have like your headphones in, you can listen to your audiobooks, you can like plan something in your head. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, be like solving equations or mm-hmm. planning your next party or meal or event or mm-hmm. you know, whatever your work is. Mm-hmm. You can be doing something mental
yeah.
while your body is engaged. And that might be like not the way some other signs would want to do it, like mm-hmm. someone who has a lot of fire in their chart or someone who's very into like the sort of the zen of exercise where it's like, no, you must focus on the exercise. You must focus on the movement and the,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you're channeling your body and all this stuff.
Yeah.
yeah, that's fine for some people.
Yeah.
And that's really good for certain types of people. Like I know that if I'm focusing on, God forbid, like counting reps or like, oh, I have to do the circuit thing.
Yes.
Oh, I hate that.
Yes.
It's the worst.
Yes.
I would like do anything to avoid counting
yeah.
when I'm working out.
But you're right. For somebody else, that is meditative. That yeah. is relaxing.
And that's how they know they're doing it. It's because they're yeah. focusing on the one thing. Like I'm just doing my arms yeah. today and I'm going to do all the arm things. I'm going to yep. do three different sets and I'm going to increase my weight and do, oh, like mm-hmm. to me, that's like math. Like that's like doing your taxes. That's awful. But for some people, that's yeah. exactly how they need to do it. Mm-hmm. And then they feel like they've done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
that's their me time is mm-hmm. like they're focusing on that one thing
yeah.
and they're doing the whole set. And yeah.
I imagine that this is the person who would be better with, say, doing some sort of an exercise, running or walking or long distance things. Because I imagine on the flip side, you know, when somebody's like really stressed
yeah.
and like, what can I do to lower that stress? And you think of something relaxing, like a massage.
Right.
But I bet that person would yeah. be like angry afterwards or during
yeah,
or something.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's a really funny thing yeah. too. Yeah. Like when this type exactly of person mm-hmm. is stressed out. Do something active but
yeah.
solitary. It would be my enemy. Everyone's yeah. mileage may vary. This person yeah. might be super interested in, you know, playing volleyball with all their friends.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But my initial thought is that is this archetype is
yeah.
the kind of person who would really benefit from doing something endurance related,
mm-hmm.
perseverant, where they're doing like they're focusing
mm-hmm.
on themselves
mm-hmm.
and, you know, maybe they can let their mind wander. But
yeah
really focusing on that. I'm kind of getting out of there. Don't just go and do something in the other room where there's distractions still.
Yeah.
You know, go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Go,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I appreciate the solitary point that you made
yeah.
that, because I imagine that if they're so in their head
yeah.
and they're already self-conscious or
right.
whatever it
or
is.
Or distracted.
Yeah. Or distractible. Yeah.
yeah.
Being around others. That's
yeah.
just adding another layer of stress that you're like,
totally.
Need to be presenting yourself
right.
in a certain
like,
way.
Don't use the gym at work.
Where oh,
there's
yeah,
other
yeah.
people
yeah,
from work,
yeah.
you know, on your
yeah.
lunch break. Like,
yeah.
no, that's not going to
Yeah.
Be good. Or like if your kids are in the other room and they're banging on the door and they're like, we want to watch our movie. And like, you're just happy to come out of your, like to know.
So it's not so much about like being alone. Like you could still be around people, but maybe not like maybe around strangers. So you still are kind of anonymous in your own head. And
exactly.
No one's expecting anything of you.
Exactly. Or, That's the thing.
And is this like just April 10, like just that day? Is it like a period?
Mars is a slower moving planet. So like I said, it comes around every 2 years that this exact aspect will happen. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a little bit longer, like I would say a couple weeks, you know, a week on either side, probably, that we'll feel this sort of thing. And you want to, I mean, it's another one of those, anything with Mars and one of the outer planets, and I'm thinking Saturn is on the verge of being an outer planet, like you really want to kind of like watch the news and there might be some weirdness going on. I mean, there's always weirdness going on, but it's one of those things where sometimes the exact aspects can trigger stuff and whatnot.
Any predictions, like to what effect, like what's the... Okay. Let's not go there. Let's not make anything happen.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I'll predict with like the outer planets, but I don't know.
Let's not put out in the world what we might not want to see.
Exactly.
Just good things. Just only good things. The positive,
persevere, focus. Be disciplined. And this person, once they, this is like, let's, you know, pull around to the positive. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of person who, once they do actually figure out the way that they can work with these energies, they can have the most amazing amount of perseverance, discipline, patience, and authority. And they can really make the most of this conjunction, but they will always be the kind of person who says that things never came easy for them. Like they will always be the person who says they've accomplished everything that they have in life through hard work and struggle and discipline and the harnessing of all their faculties to achieve their goals. They're never going to be the kind of person who just says, oh yeah, it was fine. You know, it's easy. Like no big deal.
Yeah. It sounds like this person's learning a lot along the way, which is why they're able to experience so much and eventually
and be a mentor or, you know. If they do it right. And if they do it wrong, it can be very difficult. That's where the celebrity examples come in.
Oh, perfect. That's what I was waiting for.
So here's like, we're gonna go up and down in our energy levels here.
Okay, perfect.
So we're going to start on a high note. Dolly Parton.
Oh, woo. Yes.
Yes. I mean, oh my God.
We
talk about endurance and hard work and perseverance and like just being on top and a goddess.
Yes.
Pablo Escobar.
Okay.
What? Yeah. Eddie Izzard. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Henry Winkler. Mm-hmm. Endurance. Rihanna. Mm-hmm. Venus Williams.
Okay.
Al Gore. Pierre Trudeau, which is not to be confused with his son. David Lynch, wonderful director. And Howard Hughes. Mm-hmm. Howard Hughes is another one where it's, let's say, not it didn't go well for him, but he accomplished some amazing things. And I think we can all agree that if we watch The Aviator, as an archetypal study, wow, like an amazing study of Mars conjunct Saturn.
In a nutshell, how would you describe that?
I mean, he pioneered amazing filmmaking techniques and amazing like aerospace techniques and just the harnessing of the power of flight in such an early era and just like the imagery of steel. Like Mars and Saturn conjunct and like the whole like, you know, making steel into something that is aerodynamically sound, making it, making this amazing heavy machinery that can just soar like a bird. Like that's Mars conjunct Saturn done right. But then there's like terrible mental illness that took him over in his later life and he became a hermit. And there's a lot of hermit stuff with Saturn and Mars, which can...
Why is that a tendency?
I mean...
Aspect.
There's a perfectionism, right? There's a perfectionism
that's what I was thinking,
Yeah, like Mars conjunct Saturn is incredibly... It's a difficult, perfectionistic, disciplinary kind of thing.
Perfectionist and if it, to a fault.
It can corrode your sanity if you don't harness it properly.
Wow, but we're so lucky to have gotten so much contribution to the world from... from people who essentially sacrificed their life for it, for their craft.
Absolutely.
And that, you're right, that is that perseverance, that's the hard work. But it sounds like there are major setbacks along the journey.
Yeah, it's not an easy aspect, absolutely.
Yeah,
but it can be done really well.
Yeah. Anything else to note about this?
I think that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining that. That was quite a mouthful, but at the same time, like, yeah, you know, you can't help but be compassionate to somebody like that. And
that's the, yeah, that's the best thing we can hope for with this. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Armin.
And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a one-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.